Off the Rails, episode one, Cody Grant alongside Ryan Horvat. First episode of our brand new podcast voted on by you, our listeners, on the 105.7 FM Twitter page. Off the Rails is the winner. I like this name, Ryan. I think it's the perfect name for this podcast, considering the content we're going to bring you.
Yeah, it was pretty tough, actually, to choose a name. There were some good suggestions in our mentions yesterday on Twitter as well. My favorite was Horror and Grant.
Yeah, and
from Ziggy.
I think Sober Rick made a nice little picture of that as well, which I retweeted on my Twitter page. You can follow me at CodyGrant2015. Follow Ryan at Ryan Horvat, spelled as it sounds, H-O-R-V-A-T. I didn't think about it that time. Plenty to talk about today on this podcast. We have NBA awards came out. The NFL Top 100 list has been finalized. Later in the show, we'll talk about a subject I'm sure everybody at some point in their life has talked about, which invasion could you survive, a zombie, robot, or alien invasion. But I know, Ryan, there's something you want to get to right away, and it happened this morning on Twitter.
Yeah, I woke up in a really good mood, threw some money on some early morning soccer games, had to battle back yesterday to get myself back into the win column. So I stayed up really late, watched West Coast baseball, watched the Cubs and the Dodgers, had the Diamondbacks on the money line, so was up late. Everything worked out, though. Lost some money this morning, though, as I took Germany. They were like the overwhelming favorites. First half, money line. Because overall on the money line, they were like minus 550, so I wasn't screwing with that. So I was like, yeah, they'll be winning by at least a goal at the end of the first half. They weren't. And then I checked my Twitter mentions, and Chewbacca was taking some shots at me. And I fucking hate these parody accounts. Like, I hate the accounts, and it's like not Selena Gomez, but it says like Selena Gomez, or it's not The Weeknd, but the parody account says like The Weeknd.
Yeah.
And it's all these motivational quotes. It's like, you can never love somebody that truly doesn't love you back. And I'm like, A, you know, Tupac never said that, so why are you using his Twitter handle or a Twitter handle? Like, I just imagine being such a fucking loser that you can't make a Twitter page with your own name, your own avatar or picture, whatever the hell you call it. And you are Chewbacca. That's what you call yourself. What is this, Magro and Babo? Boo-boo? I don't even know what the hell this guy's actual Twitter name, Twitter handle is. But he really pissed me off this morning. Because if you're going to go at somebody, at least have the balls to have your name on your Twitter handle.
Yeah, so he responded because I got the notifications as well because I was tagged in this post. It was our question, what should the name of the new podcast be with Ryan and Cody? And he responded with some
harsh words. But then I look at his page and everything is just him trolling people. And like all of his likes are just like porn star page. So I had to delete a couple tweets because I went at him pretty hard. You
probably
know?
This is some loser in his mom's basement.
Well, that's what I told him. And yeah, I was like, what are you going to do today? Tweet at porn stars who don't give a fuck about you and things like that. And then I was like, man, this guy probably has a very sad life if this is what he's doing with his time. But so Amanda calls me this morning and she's like, hey, you know, what are you up to? And I was like, not much. Going to hit a workout here soon and go into the studio, do a podcast with Cody. I was like, I've spent 2 hours of my morning, 2 hours of my life arguing with a fucking account named Chewbacca. With a picture of Chewbacca. So what is my life coming to? I really need to start doing something in the morning and in the daytime besides betting soccer and fighting with Star Wars fucking parody accounts. And I usually just let that thing go.
Yeah, like that's what I did.
I usually let it go. But when I'm watching Germany cost me $100.
You were pissed off.
At 10 a.m., I had no patience for Chewbacca. But let's move on.
Speaking of parody accounts, though, before we move on really quickly.
I just need to I need to know the point. The one I hate the most
is the Ian Rappaport parody account.
That's because you fall for it.
I've fallen for it one time. One time I fell for it where I retweeted an Ian Rappaport fake tweet. I can't remember what the tweet was. I can't look back on it because I did delete the tweet, but I didn't check for the blue check mark. I got excited because it's something I wanted to happen, and without thinking, I retweeted it, and we'll move on from there. But yeah. The parody accounts,
That's annoying, but at least like I get the point of it. You're trying to like fuck with somebody and have radio hosts retweet you and then make them look like big assholes. But like, why do you create like a fake Shawn Mendes fucking profile? Like, I don't understand it. I don't get what you get out of it. Like, and then you post all this worthless shit and it gets like 15,000 fucking retweets, and it's not even really Selena Gomez or The Weeknd or this person. And I don't understand it. Somebody needs to explain it to me. And this Chewbacca guy, fuck him. I want to fight him. I want to fucking cage fight this guy. I really do. Because, A, he doesn't even follow me.
Yeah.
So why is he taking a shot at me? He's never heard one of my takes.
Does he follow the fan page?
He does follow the fan page.
So that's how he saw it.
He
doesn't know who you are. He doesn't know who I am.
He's just one of the, exactly.
He doesn't follow me.
Bitching.
Yeah.
He follows mainly porn stars, the fan account, and the Bill Michaels account.
There you go.
So he likes Bill, hates all of us, and loves chicks getting railed. So whatever, I guess. I don't know if I could say that, but let's move on.
We'll move on.
I'm not the one liking the pages. This guy, this is the sick fuck. This is the perverted fucks that we deal with, though. Chewbacca. That's his name.
I found your hot button, though. Whenever I want to piss you off, I know just make a fake account with a Twitter named Tom Cruise and just come at you.
How does Germany lose to South Korea in soccer? Explain that to me. Like, I'm not the biggest soccer Euro, as Chuck would say.
I had this... I'm a big Seinfeld fan, right? And my favorite character on Seinfeld is George Costanza. And he had this episode where he got the job with the Yankees because he did the opposite of what his instincts told him to.
Mm-hmm.
And it was always do the opposite. I historically have been a very bad gambler because I go with my heart and my emotions on picking my teams.
Mm-hmm.
So I figured I'm going to start doing something different. I'm going to start being the opposite when I'm betting on stuff. So I'm going to go to the opposite. I'm going to start betting on soccer because I don't know about soccer.
Yeah.
And, man, when you told me this, I didn't even know they were playing this morning. I don't watch the World Cup. I don't know anything about soccer. But I was like, man, that would have been a perfect way to get on that bandwagon.
Exactly. You should just take all underdogs. Like today, like Korea was like plus 1,400. So boom.
But the biggest thing, Ryan,
$10, you win 140.
Is, you know my nickname, the poorest man on radio. And that's not just a nickname. That's a lifestyle. Because I am very poor.
But let me,
I don't have the money just to throw, 25 there and 25 there. I still owe Freem $75.
Well, that's why you don't bet the heavy favorite. You could scrape up some quarters in your car right now, probably take them to the grocery store and to the Coinstar. Boom, $10 right there. And if you would have taken that $10, thrown it on Korea today, you'd be $140 richer. And that's the beautiful thing about gambling.
Yeah, that's
the
one thing.
Or you could lose the $10 and then have
absolutely
no money.
There's good bets and there's bad bets. Germany today was a bad bet, and even if they did win, how much money would you have won?
Well, I threw quite a bit of money on it, so I probably would have won about $100.
Okay.
But like I said, I made a strong comeback last night. See, what happened this weekend, as I was here for the post-game shows, I was here all weekend, and I was just a nervous wreck because... So the Chicago Cubs were playing the Cincinnati Reds. Cincinnati Reds, arguably the worst team in the National League. They were the second worst team in the National League at that point. And they sweep the Cubs in a four-game series for the first time since 1983. So game one, Cubs like take like a 2-0 lead. I bet the Cubs game one is how this whole thing spiraled. And they lose like 6-2 or something like that. I was like, all right, they'll get them tomorrow. The Cubs get beat again. So then I'm like, okay, triple or nothing here. They're going to win at least one of these freaking games against the Reds. They get beat again. So then I'm like, okay, I'm throwing it all in. They're not getting swept by the Reds. This is a four-game series. They have like a 6-1, 7-1 lead on Sunday. Pedro Strop gives up like 7 runs in the 7th inning. They lose. And I was just in a huge hole that I had to work my way out of. Finally do it, and then Germany, of all fucking people, screws me. And they're the heavy favorites. I think they're one of the best teams. And see, that's the problem when you start betting on soccer. Like, I don't know much about soccer. I know probably about as much as, I don't know, the casual fan, I guess, just because I listen to a bunch of podcasts. And when it's World Cup time, I do watch the coverage, but I still have no clue. It's like the hardest thing in the world to predict. You have no freaking clue. And so, let's move on.
Yeah, well, moving on to, we got NBA awards and NFL top 100. I want to get to the top 10 of that NFL list that was put out by NFL Network. Of course, we all know where Aaron Rodgers ranks on that list, not as high as most of us would like to have thought he would. But before we get to that, we'll talk about the NBA awards. They have the awards show now, second straight year they've done this, which I just think there's no point. It's just they want more coverage, and it was, I didn't even turn it on. I don't really like those award shows when they come through. But anyways, we'll get to those awards. MVP, not LeBron James, James Harden. I think there was no surprise there.
No.
But when you look at the numbers, there's definitely an argument to be made for LeBron James. Rookie of the year went to a guy that is considered a rookie, but not really. Ben Simmons outlasted Donovan Mitchell. And the coach of the year, Dwayne Casey, who is no longer with that team that he won coach of the year for. The other awards, I think they got them right, but those three were my biggest issues. And let's talk about this. I mean, LeBron James hasn't won MVP now in 5 years, Ryan, and it seems like the NBA, and this is nothing new because Michael Jordan's only won 5 MVPs in his career. He got beat by Karl Malone 1 year.
Yeah.
Why does the NBA do this, and why do they make it so predictable to the point where, well, you look at the numbers. I mean, LeBron James had a much, much better season than James Harden, but
right.
They're going to give it to James Harden. Like, we know it's going to happen. I mean, why is it?
They just try to switch it up every year. You don't want the same guy winning MVP every year because, like you said, Michael Jordan could have been the MVP every single season, and so could LeBron James. So you have to look at different factors, I guess. Who else is most important to their team? The Rockets were really good this season. But see, here's my problem with James Harden. He had a great year, and he did deserve the MVP award. I'll say that. I mean, like we just said, LeBron could win it every single year. The Rockets were outstanding. They lost like 2 games in the regular season, 2 or 3 or 4
so
games
it
or
seems
something
like
that,
right?
When James Harden, Chris Paul, and Clint Capella all played together.
Yeah.
So James Harden was great, but he's been in Houston for a while. He probably could have won a couple MVP awards because, I mean, since he's went there, he's a 30-point-per-game guy. You know, he could get you 7 to 8 assists. When he wants to defend, he's a decent defender. But the problem is that he just can't get it done. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know that Houston wins 60 games this season with just James Harden. If you take Chris Paul off that team, like you did in the Western Conference Finals in Game 7, they're not the same team. And if you take Clint Capella out of that lineup, they're not the same team. And so James Harden, I think, by himself, I think that's maybe, what, like a 45-48 win team?
Probably.
And so take LeBron James off of the Cavs. What are they, like a 10-15 win team?
Probably.
I mean, they're probably arguably the worst team in the Eastern Conference. Because who else is scoring on that team?
You
Rodney
mentioned
Hood?
That James Harden undoubtedly is the most important player on the Rockets, right? But if you take Chris Paul off that team doesn't win as
many
games.
I'm saying. Maybe Chris Paul was the most important
let's give the benefit of the doubt to James Harden. Mm-hmm. Let's say he is the most important player on the Rockets, and you take off Chris Paul. Their win total goes down, right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, so you look at the Cavs this season. Let's say Jordan Clarkson. Take him off the team. Does their win total go down?
No.
Let's say Ronnie Hood. Take him off the team. Does their win total go down?
No, he couldn't even find minutes in the
playoffs. Let's say Tristan Thompson. Does their win total go down?
No, he couldn't find the court.
The only guy on the Cavs that you take off the team and their win total drastically drops is LeBron James. He's the only one that matters. It's the Cleveland LeBron James.
And I guess that's my problem with just the MVP award in general, is it should go to the best player, I guess.
Well,
then because I guess it should just go to LeBron every year because, okay, James Harden, most valuable player on probably the second best team in the Western Conference last year. Why isn't Kevin Durant the MVP? Because, look at the Warriors. Without him, 73-win team, but couldn't get past LeBron in that final series, mainly because Draymond got suspended.
Suspended, game 5.
But so, I mean, you could say any member of the Warriors is the MVP. They're important to their team. Steph Curry. You could say Giannis is the MVP. Take Giannis off the Bucks, and what do they win? Maybe like 20, 25 games this year?
He finished 6th in voting, so good step up from him from winning most improved player last year.
But that's my point.
Year.
So is it like who's most important to their team? Because I guess James Harden gets it done because the Rockets were such a surprise, great 60-win team in the Western Conference, and that's why he wins the award, because he was the best player, finally, on one of the best teams, best regular season team, we'll say, in the Western Conference. So he gets the award. And he was great this year. But was he better than Anthony Davis? I mean, take Anthony Davis off the Pelicans. The Pelicans won a playoff series because of Anthony Davis without Boogie Cousins. I mean, Drew Holiday was awesome. Rondo was awesome in the playoffs. Mirotic showed up in the playoffs. In fact, I think the Pelicans played better with Mirotic
than DeMarcus Cousins.
Well,
because they ran the offense through Anthony Davis.
That's what I mean.
Like I said, I don't think long-term they're better off without DeMarcus Cousins, but in that sense, they were able to open up the floor for Anthony Davis and let him do his thing. We give him more freedom offensively than what they did have with DeMarcus Cousins in there as well. But my question also is, what's the definition of MVP?
Right.
I mean, doesn't MVP, most valuable player, mean the same thing as best player? I mean, really, when you really think about it, because isn't the best player always going to be the most valuable to that team?
I think
no matter where they go,
just convinced myself that Kevin Durant's the true MVP of the season once again. Because so, I don't think the Warriors win the NBA title this year without Kevin Durant, because I think the Rockets would have actually knocked him out of the playoffs.
Well, if Chris Paul doesn't get hurt either, you might think that they knock off the Golden State Warriors,
exactly.
But you don't know.
Exactly.
Well, Kevin Durant, I mean, I've said this all along, I think by far he and LeBron are on their own tiers. You know, LeBron's number one, and Kevin Durant's right there, number two.
Because that Warriors team is really good. Like we said, a 73-win team the season before Durant gets there. But, I mean, they got beat by LeBron. And that's a different Cavs team. Kyrie Irving's on that team.
Kevin Love is playing well.
Yeah, he doesn't have a concussion or whatever he's dealing with this week. And so it's just a huge difference. But yeah, I'm going to say Kevin Durant, once again, the MVP of the season, I think. Because as good as LeBron was, he wasn't good enough to beat the Warriors with Kevin Durant and, you know, a fully healthy Steph Curry. So I think I'll go Durant MVP.
Yeah,
actually,
and one thing, too,
just convince myself.
When I look at Kevin Durant and Stephen Curry and that argument, you know, Curry is the one that makes that team go. But Stephen Curry can have a bad game in the finals, and it doesn't matter because Kevin Durant's going to have 40 points. Kevin Durant's going to do what needs to be done to get them over the proverbial hump and win that game.
Exactly. You could shut down Curry in the playoffs because he could create his own shot, but if you put a bigger, like 6'7", 6'8", perimeter defender, or just a guy that's going to get in his head a little bit, then you could shut down Curry. There's absolutely nothing you could do to stop Kevin Durant. Absolutely nothing because
Kevin
Durant, a 7'2" wingspan.
Kevin Durant today is the best offensive player in the NBA.
He could get to the rim. Like, you can't block a shot. He could just pull up from three-point land. Like I said, his wingspan, the guy's so long, he's so tall. There's absolutely nothing you could do to stop him. So
no, we
as
never
good
seen
as LeBron is, I'm going to give my MVP, actually. I'm gonna get rid of it for Harden. No LeBron James, no Anthony Davis. I go Kevin Durant. And
Kevin
I'm also
Durant.
Pissed off about Rookie of the Year, to tell you the truth.
We'll get to Rookie of the Year in a second. I just want to relay these stats to you. LeBron James versus James Harden. I won't put out all the numbers, but points, advantage LeBron James. Rebounds, advantage LeBron James. Assists, field goal percentage, three-point percentage, minutes, games played, triple-doubles, advantage LeBron James. And I'll end my argument on that. LeBron should have been this year's MVP over James Harden. Rookie of the Year, what was your gripe about that? Because my gripe with Rookie of the Year is that as good as Ben Simmons was this season, I know what the rule is. I'm sick of the rule that you can be considered a rookie if you don't play enough games in the first year. I look back at, too, I think there's something to be said about a player that sits on the bench that goes to practice, even though he's hurt, he's not participating in drills, that's seeing how the NBA game is played right up close, whereas Donovan Mitchell doesn't have that advantage coming in, although still led rookies in scoring, had a great season. It's kind of like the, you know, we've seen it here in Wisconsin with Aaron Rodgers. The clipboard sat behind Brett Favre. He was prepared to enter the game. A little bit different with Ben Simmons, a little bit different with basketball, but we've seen it with Blake Griffin. He won Rookie of the Year in his second season, and now Ben Simmons does it in his second season. I picked Ben Simmons to win because I thought he was going to, because the NBA is predictable sometimes with picking their awards.
Yeah.
I thought Donovan Mitchell really did deserve it, and he was a true rookie. I would like to see him get it.
Ben Simmons is a great player, and he was excellent this season. And it isn't even really the fact that he sat out a year and kind of did the redshirt thing that drives me nuts. It's the fact that, okay, as good as he was, he's got some talent surrounding him, in Joel Embiid especially. Whereas Donovan Mitchell, I thought Utah was going to win like 25 to 30 games maybe this year, especially in the Western Conference, because you lose Gordon Hayward. I mean, you have Rudy Gobert, who's a freaking superstar. Guy's a solid rim protector, great all-around player, but I wasn't expecting anything from Donovan Mitchell or the Utah Jazz, and they were freaking tough this year, man. They were a playoff team, and nobody expected that. I figured they were going to maybe even tank and try to get another superstar in there because they lost Gordon Hayward. So I like Donovan Mitchell, and then just the way that he played in the playoffs, like, he looked like a year four, year five veteran out there. Mm-hmm. He was great. And Jason Tatum, I would actually put second. I would go Mitchell first, Jason Tatum second. He became a superstar. What the Celtics asked him to do, run that offense when Kyrie Irving got lost for the season, and just the way that he played in the playoffs. I'll never forget when he dunked on LeBron
And oh, that was amazing. But also, that was a mistake because it woke LeBron up.
But like, he went to like LeBron's camp, so he's known him since he was like 8 years old.
Those that pictures was awesome. Came out.
But I liked it, man. It was almost like he took the throne there, and I think he's going to be a hell of a player. I think he's going to be a superstar, and I think he's going to be probably the face of the franchise, maybe him, Jaylen Brown, Gordon Hayward, because I think Kyrie Irving does end up going to New York and becoming a Knick eventually, and I think the best thing that happened, I think, for the Celtics was Kyrie Irving getting hurt. Because I don't think realistically, even with Kyrie and Gordon Hayward, they would beat the Warriors this year. I think they have a better shot next year. And I think that Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum getting the chance to develop and play all those minutes, all those meaningful minutes, and kind of have to carry the team in the playoffs is going to be valuable for next year. Then you bring back a healthy Kyrie Irving, hopefully. I mean, is he ever fully healthy? And Gordon Hayward, and I think they're the team to beat, not only in the Eastern Conference, but maybe in the league, especially if Chris Paul doesn't stay in Houston, because I hear that things are going sour there with contract talks. He wants a max deal. Can they afford him? Clint Capella is going to be due up. I mean, there's a lot of variables to look at, but yeah, I go Donovan Mitchell number one, Jason Tatum number two, Ben Simmons number three. And that's not a slight on Simmons. I think he's great, but his jump shot is just so weak.
It's broken. He doesn't have a jump shot right now. That's something he's going to have to work on for sure. So those three players, I have a question for you about those three in a second. But first, I want to mention, because you talked about the playoffs. You talked about Jason Tatum taking over in the playoffs and Donovan Mitchell taking over in the playoffs and Ben Simmons really having some low moments. I mean, he scored 1 point when they played Boston in the second round.
Yeah, because he can't shoot.
He can't shoot, exactly. And Brad Stevens, who's a genius head coach, who actually I thought should have been considered one of the coach of the years. My question to you is, because playoffs are not taken into consideration when they do these regular season awards, should they be?
No. No, I'm fine with that being just a regular season award.
Okay, because you have people talk about, oh, you see what Donovan Mitchell did in the playoffs, man.
The big MVP award is the finals MVP.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind like an overall postseason award or like a first. I mean, it's stupid and they're not going to do it because this is the NBA, but like in college, you'll have like all tournament team.
Uh-huh.
First and second team. That would even be cool. But
that would be kind of cool. You know who I bet you would make that too? Chris Middleton.
Yeah, absolutely. He'd probably be first team to tell you.
Middleton had the best team playoffs out of anybody, I think, in the first round in any series. But
yeah, agreed.
So my second question to you is Jason Tatum, Ben Simmons, and Donovan Mitchell. Just right now, who has the best career out of all three of them?
Out of all three of these guys, I'm going to say, man, that's a tough question. I'm going to say it's between, I don't know about Donovan Mitchell. I just don't think Utah is ever going to draw a big name free agent. So I don't know as far as winning goes. Is he going to stay in Utah? You know, they're going to have to draft really well. We'll put it that
way. Yeah, there's a lot of variables.
They're not going to get a big free
agent.
There's
a lot of variables go on in Utah. And with Jason Tatum, he's set up for success in Boston, and same with
Ben
Simmons.
Right, and I know you're asking me individually, you know, not as a team player, whose team is going to be the best. But I think what surrounds you kind of
it does play into it.
Right, plays into how good you are individually. Jason Tatum has a chance to be an absolute superstar, especially if Kyrie bolts for New York. I think Ben Simmons has the highest ceiling, though, especially if he just develops a decent jump shot. You know, I'd be happy with him shooting like 45%,
yeah,
44%, you know, being able to knock down a couple threes, just so you have to take him serious. Because in today's NBA, even if you're a small forward, a point forward, a power forward, you have to almost be a stretch four. You have to be able to play with your face to the basket, not just in the post with your back to the basket anymore. Simmons is a playmaker. I see a lot of LeBron in him, like a little bit of Magic Johnson. He's got to develop a little bit of a jumper, like I said. But I think he has the highest ceiling, especially for the fact that I think Philadelphia will be able to, I can't believe I'm saying this, draw attention to free. they are going to be able to get free agents that are going to want to play with Embiid and with Ben Simmons. So if they could keep all those guys together, keep attracting some shooters for when they double down on Embiid. I mean, he could shoot himself. I think Simmons has the highest ceiling next to Jason Tatum. I think all three are going to be superstars, though.
Yeah, it's going to be fun to watch for sure. Their careers progress. And I really like Boston, man. That team is going to be tough to beat the next several years. And it worries me about the Bucks because they have a long way to go before they're on the same level as a Boston Celtic team. NBA, though, season's over. Can't wait till it gets back. Baseball's in full swing, but NFL making headlines as well. They, of course, have their every year NFL Network does top 100 players, and we just found out the top 10. Aaron Rodgers, the pride of Green Bay, who we all know is arguably the best player in the league right now, he was ranked 10th on this list, and Green Bay fans were not happy about that.
No, and rightfully so.
Yeah. So they are voted on by their peers from what happened last season, which I really don't understand that fully, because isn't it still supposed to be the best players going into this season based on what happened last season? I mean, Aaron Rodgers played, what, 5-6 games, but you still know who he is by his body of work. He was the 6th best player in the NFL Top 100 last year. Now he's dropped back to 10th. But by the way, Bovada has Aaron Rodgers number 1 in NFL MVP.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like it should be based off projections, a little bit of last season, and mainly just kind of...
It's just who's the best player right now.
Right.
That's what it is.
I hate the rankings for the NFL. I don't mind them in like NBA top 10 players or in baseball top 10 players. But in football, like, how do you dictate or how do you decide if Le'Veon Bell's more important to his team than Aaron Rodgers? Because Le'Veon Bell, I think, is the overall best player in football because the guy could rush for 1,000 yards. He could catch 100 passes if he really wanted to. He actually blocks. Like, he is the best NFL running back and the best overall, I think, athlete. I don't know about the best overall athlete, but he's the best overall, I think, football player in the whole National Football League. But is he more important to his team than Aaron Rodgers is? Because we saw that mess of a season last year with Brett Hundley under center. You take Aaron Rodgers off Green Bay, and they're a 4-12, 5-11 football team if he doesn't play for a whole season. And Brett Hundley or DeShone Kizer, no matter who your quarterback is, you take Rodgers off that out of the lineup, and you're not making the playoffs. Whereas if you take Le'Veon Bell off the Steelers, I still think they go 10-6, to tell you the truth. Possibly 11-5 this season, just because Roethlisberger has a lot of weapons, a lot of big receivers. He's got Antonio Brown. But is that to say Le'Veon Bell isn't as important or isn't as good of an athlete or football player than Aaron Rodgers? I just think it's dumb. I don't like the top 100 list just because how do you dictate who's more important? How do you say Aaron Donald's more important to his team than Aaron Rodgers? Or how do you say Aaron Rodgers is more important than Aaron Donald? Because we know in the National Football League, if you want to win a Super Bowl, you have to have the best defensive line and the best offensive line. You have to be great in the trenches come playoff time. You have to have a pass rush or you're fucked.
Yeah, and it all starts, too, by default with the quarterback. I mean, you know, there's if you're doing a draft, right, and you have a top 10 pick, and say it's a fantasy draft to where you're an owner, one of 30 teams, 29 other teams, I should say, and
you have to pick a guy. That'd be awesome.
Like that, you got to think. Okay, Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown, those guys are obviously better football players than let's say just give me like a quarterback, like a decent, like a Matthew Stafford.
Ooh, before you finish this point, but here's a great point of what you're about to say here. Okay, so if you have Le'Veon Bell or you have Todd Gurley, look at Todd Gurley. This is a great example. 2 years ago, when there was no starting quarterback for the Rams, what did teams do against Todd Gurley?
They stacked the box.
And he was averaging like 35, 40 yards rushing a week. He had a great rookie season. He was a freaking stud. And then his sophomore year, when Jared Goff was kind of like a mess, his rookie year, we didn't think he was going to pan out. All teams did was stack the box against Gurley, and he couldn't do anything. Last year, Jared Goff learned how to play a little bit of football. He had a better offensive system, completely new coaching staff, and he was pretty good. He took care of the football, and it forced teams to take him serious, and Todd Gurley was awesome last
year. It's such
an
interesting conversation.
Do you take Le'Veon Bell number one,
yeah,
and then have Blake Bortles as your quarterback?
Exactly. Now, Le'Veon Bell, but it's so hard to say that because Todd Gurley's a stud as well. You look at Dallas, though. How about Dak Prescott? You take Ezekiel Elliott away from him, and it's a turn there.
Yeah, Ezekiel Elliott is the most important player on that football team. Yeah.
Not the running back. And on the other side, as you mentioned, the Rams, though, it was Todd Gurley that failed because he didn't have the quarterback. So it's so hard to really know the true value of one player.
Exactly, because, okay, my new theory about running backs, there's some running backs that I would take in the top 10. You know, that's always an argument come draft time. A guy like Todd Gurley is a top 10 running back. A guy like Le'Veon Bell is top 10. A guy like Alvin Kamara, if I could redraft right now, would be top 10. But then there's a lot of serviceable guys, okay? Like Aaron Jones could rush for 1,000 years.
Well, that's a long time, man.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. I wish I could live to 1,000 years. 40 years would be nice. But what I'm saying is you could kind of shove anybody back there now and they could rush for 1,000 yards if you have a solid offensive line. That
and
was
you
my
have,
point about
and you
the
have
Cowboys.
A system, too, as well. Well, the Cowboys
before,
have the best offensive line in football, but Zeke Elliott is
but
still...
But before Zeke Elliott, okay, they had like McFadden rush for 1,000 yards. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They were kind of just throwing anybody back there, and they were capable of rushing for 1,000 yards because they had the best offensive line.
I remember sticking on the waiver wire every single week and finding the Cowboys running back that's going to start that week because they had the offensive line. Exactly. No, that's a good point to make. And well, the top 10 of this year's picks on the NFL Network countdown, you know, you had Le'Veon Bell at number 5, a running back. You had Todd Gurley at number 6, a running back. Those are the only two running backs in the top 10. You had two wide receivers, Antonio Brown and Julio Jones at 2 and 4, four quarterbacks, Tom Brady at 1, Wentz at 3, Drew Brees at 8, and Rodgers at 10. And then you had two pass rushers, Aaron Donald at 7 and Von Miller at 9.
I don't understand how you rate Carson Wentz over Aaron Rodgers.
Well, yeah, that's another
based
thing,
off last
too.
Season, I understand, because he would have been the MVP if or should have been. He could have been the Super Bowl MVP.
Here's the thing, too, and this brings us back to the MVP discussion, right? Carson Wentz would have been the MVP last year, no doubt, if he didn't get hurt. Is that safe to say?
He would probably have been the Super Bowl MVP. I think he would have put up the numbers that Nick Foles
I'm talking about just
didn't.
The regular season.
Oh, yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Yeah,
yeah, he would have been MVP. He gets hurt, and they still win the Super Bowl with a backup quarterback in Nick Foles. So, I mean, I don't even know how I'm saying this, because we all know Carson Wentz is a better quarterback than Nick Foles, but was Carson Wentz even the most valuable player on that team?
No, I think every member of that defensive line was probably the most valuable
there
member
was
of the
no
team,
one
but he was
MVP.
Fantastic. I mean, 33 touchdown passes was a franchise record for them, and he only turned the ball over 7 times, 7 interceptions, and that's in 13 games. So I was fine with him winning MVP, but if you give me, see, this is my problem with top 10 players. Throw those names on a board right now, and I'm going Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady, okay? And I'm fine with that argument, okay? Who's the GOAT or who's the best quarterback in the game right now? When you start throwing Drew Brees out there and Carson Wentz, I'm going to have to disagree with you. And I agree with Drew Brees being in the top 10, to tell you the truth. I think he should be right there at 10. I think Tom Brady should be right there at number 2, and I think Aaron Rodgers should be number 1 because we see the Green Bay Packers when you take Aaron Rodgers out of that lineup. He's not the starting quarterback. He's not behind center. They're a dumpster fire. And
that's to put it lightly, too.
And I'm sick of this conversation like that the Packers were doomed from the start of the year last year. Okay, they got roughed up. They got lit up by Atlanta in Atlanta. Other than that, they look great. The win against Dallas was huge. Aaron Rodgers was hitting his stride. He looked fully healthy. He looked like he was in the best shape of his career. And I think the Packers would have won 11-5, 12-4 last year. I think they would have beat Minnesota in Minnesota the day that he got hurt. Everybody's acting like that was just a terrible football team, which they were. But I feel like everybody's spirits were just murdered when Aaron Rodgers went down in Minnesota. And you could kind of see it in the locker room. You could kind of hear it. Like, the season was over. Like, Randall Cobb and Jordy Nelson just kind of gave up. I mean, Brett Hundley was terrible. And the defense just kind of gave up. I feel like that was the problem with Clinton Dix. Everybody's like, what was wrong with him last year? When you're playing for a team that is destined to finish with 6, 7, 8 wins and you're not going to the playoffs, what are you really playing for other than money and a contract? And that's what you'll see this year is guys are going to ball out.
Well, ha-ha's in a contract
but that's
year.
My problem with like throwing Rodgers there and saying, okay, well, you know, the Packers were a mess, blah, blah, blah. I think they would have won 11 or 12 games with a healthy Aaron Rodgers. He looked great last year, especially in that game against Dallas.
Here's the thing, too. This is why, like, I don't take anything into account to this list because I don't let other people's opinions affect what I know. What you know and I know is Aaron Rodgers today, he's the best player in football. Are we wrong to say that? Absolutely not. And now, if we're talking like Tom Brady versus Aaron Rodgers all time, there's an argument there. I kind of
career. I'll take Tom Brady's career over Aaron Rodgers.
I lean towards Tom Brady.
Yeah.
But right now, today, Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback in football. If you're going to draft a team just for this year, Aaron Rodgers is going number one in everybody's draft.
Because he's still younger. As he gets older, he's still younger than Drew Brees and Tom Brady. Like, Tom Brady eventually is going to drop off a little bit. And I think this might be the year.
You think
Gronkowski,
so?
I don't know if his head's fully in it.
I think Gronk wants to act.
Is a freaking mess in New England right now. I feel like nobody's having fun anymore. I feel like he's still going to have a great year, but I don't think he's going to have the same numbers that we've seen the last 2 to 3 years from Tom Brady. And same thing with Drew Brees is always going to put up ridiculous numbers. He's a freaking video game, man. But look at those late game interceptions and those unnecessary throws downfield that he makes. I love Drew Brees. He's got the Super Bowl ring too. But if we're going off physical talent, I'm going to go with the guy that could roll out to his left and throw a 50-yard dart to his
right. If we're talking physical talent and that's it, Aaron Rodgers is the greatest quarterback of all time.
Maybe
physical talent?
Physical talent,
I've never seen a guy.
Too, if he's actually healthy.
Who was that?
If Andrew Luck is actually
but he's never healthy.
Well, that's the Colts' fault because
they never
draft
an offensive lineman.
You give him all that money and you don't give him any offensive,
no protection.
Any protection at all. But if he was healthy and he could actually throw and his shoulder was normal, which I don't know if he's going to play this year, man. I saw some video today and he was
like, can he even throw an NFL ball?
He's throwing, I think they have him throwing like the Vortex.
Yeah?
No, I don't know, man.
The one that makes a sound really high
in
the air.
But I don't think he's throwing like an NFL regulation size.
By the way,
football.
That was one of the coolest toys growing up.
The Vortex?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Everybody
throw,
had
100
that.
Yards.
Exactly.
But I think like off physical gifts, I mean, he's built like a linebacker. He can make every NFL throw, but he's just never been fully healthy, so we don't really know. But I go Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Drew Brees.
No, if you want to come
throw
at
Russell
me.
Russell Wilson even in my top five.
I like Russell Wilson.
Because if
Russell
you take him off Seattle, they're like a 2-14, 3-13 football team now as that defense continues to
diminish.
Go down the drain.
Yeah, Russell Wilson's a great quarterback. And if you want to come at me with Carson Wentz and Jared Goff, guys like that, you know, those younger quarterbacks in the league, taking them over Aaron Rodgers today, if you were going to start a team to build a franchise for the next 10, 15 years, I'm fine with that because Aaron Rodgers is on the back nine of his career, even though I still think he has another 6 or 7 years left in him. But if you're talking about having a quarterback for the next 15, okay, I can understand that. But if you're starting a franchise today, Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback in the NFL, probably the best player in the NFL, at least the most important player to have because you have at the quarterback position. But this top 10 list doesn't bother me in a sense because I know what's right, and they're obviously not right when they make those final 10 guys.
Who would you go with your MVP pick, or who do you think is next year's Carson Wentz? Would you go Phillip Rivers to win an MVP at 22-1?
No.
I mean, he's older, though, so he's not up and coming. But would you go Jared Goff, 22-1? Kirk Cousins, 22-1, Deshaun Watson, 20-1, Matt Ryan, 20-1, or Jimmy Garoppolo, 20-1. Who would you take to be an MVP candidate or maybe have like a huge year like Jared Goff did? We'll throw Rivers' name out of there and Cam Newton's and Matt Ryan's because they're a little bit older. But
go on.
Guys.
Go one by one again.
Okay, Garoppolo's 20-1.
I would put him up there.
Deshaun Watson, 20-1.
I would put him up there.
You know, if he's fully back.
Deshaun Watson, Jimmy Garoppolo are my two picks.
What about Kirk Cousins in Minnesota?
No, I would not put Kirk Cousins up there. Kirk Cousins is a good quarterback. He's a top 12 quarterback. I don't think he's an elite guy. I don't think he has that ability to put up those big numbers and win you games. And I don't think he's a guy that's going to ever take home the MVP.
I love Jimmy Garoppolo. I think he's a great quarterback. And he still hasn't lost a start in San Francisco, but I think he's going to come back down to earth a little bit next year. The thing was, is they acquired him really late. They said this is going to be like a red shirt this second half of the season. You're not even going to see him. He's just going to learn the playbook, blah, blah, blah. They end up throwing him out there. He goes, what, like 4-0, 5-0, something like that. Doesn't lose a game. Next year, though, teams are actually going to be able to watch film on him and scout him. They were watching film. I mean, he started, what, 2 games in New England, got hurt. Then they went to Brissett. Before when Brady was serving that suspension. So we knew he could play, but there was only 2 games and preseason and, you know, terrible college football highlights of him for teams to actually scout. Now teams have got the full package and they're able to see what he could do. I think the Niners maybe go 8-8, 7-9. I'll have to look at that win total actually, but I think he'll come back down to earth. I think he's going to be a good quarterback, but I don't know about throwing him an MVP consideration or anything like that.
Well, if I'm betting on the MVP and you want me to
take
a bet on like the 20-1 odds,
pissed off Aaron Rodgers.
I'm going to put $10 of my savings on Deshaun Watson. I'll put $10 on Jimmy Garoppolo.
See, if Deshaun Watson is fully healthy, if he comes back, which I think he will, I love that bet.
Also,
right there.
I think that they have the second best wide receiver in the National Football League in DeAndre Hopkins, who I think is a better wide receiver at this point than Julio Jones.
He's been so underrated his whole career because he's never had a real starting quarterback. I mean, who's the best starting quarterback for the Texans that you could remember?
Can I say Brian Hoyer?
Schaub?
Matt Schaub? He had the one. Didn't he make the Pro Bowl 1 year? Like as an alternate?
Yeah, he made the Pro
Bowl
1 year. Yep.
Who was their first? I mean, who was DeAndre Hopkins' first quarterback? Was it Matt Schaub?
It was Matt Schaub, I believe, was his first one.
They've
Schaub
had some bad quarterbacks.
I remember, I mean, then Schaub got hurt and TJ Yates started a playoff game. Let's throw out some names. Brock Osweiler, Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Garbage.
Matt Schaub. We could go all the way back to 2002. You had David Carr there. Brian Hoyer, Ryan Mallett, Brandon Whedon.
I mean, it's Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson's the best quarterback they've ever had in franchise history.
And he's only played half of the season.
I mean, like, I don't even feel like that's a far-fetched statement.
Yeah, that guy's just a natural-born winner, man. We saw it at Clemson. I remember the knock on—there was a bunch of knocks on him, like undraftable, blah, blah, blah. That's kind of what I'm hoping we see from a couple guys on this year's crop. Mainly, I'm a big Josh Rosen guy, even though everybody hates him and thinks he's going to be a bust just because he opens up his mouth. I think he's going to be terrific. I think he's going to be the best. In fact, I laid down some money 4 days ago that he'll be the rookie of the year.
Josh Rosen,
I'm going with, who we don't even think, because nobody thinks he's even going to make a start this year. They think it's going to be kind of a redshirt year.
Well, isn't Sam Bradford going to get hurt in the second game?
That's why I'm throwing my money on him, because I love the odds right now, because Bradford will probably go 2-0. He'll look solid.
You know,
seven touchdown passes, one pick, break his collarbone.
What about Josh Allen, though?
No, he's going to be terrible.
No, but who's going to start over Josh Allen in Buffalo?
Josh Allen, yeah, Josh Allen's going to be brutal, though. He's got bust written all over him. I don't usually say that.
I like that he's got McCoy there.
I don't like talking about kids
him,
like
though.
That or prospects.
No.
I don't think he's going to be any good.
Baker Mayfield's not going to play this year, most likely, with Tyrod Taylor in Cleveland.
People are saying that Tyrod Taylor is going to be the starter there for years to come. And
I don't agree with that.
I don't know why you would draft Baker Mayfield number one.
I would bet you right now that Tyrod Taylor plays 16 games this season.
I would have taken Chubb number one anyway, so let's move on.
Okay, we'll move on. So, the NFL, whatever. Aaron Rodgers is the best player in the NFL today, and that's where we're going to leave it, right?
Yeah, him, Le'Veon Bell, Aaron Donald. I'm fine with any of those. Julio Jones, if you want to go receiver. I don't know, though. I mean,
Antonio Brown's the best receiver.
Antonio Brown, I mean,
isn't that
Beckham
crazy?
Jr.
Pittsburgh, man, they got the best running back and the best wide receiver in National Football League, but they still can't get by Tom Brady.
Yeah, that's the defenses went downhill.
Well,
they couldn't
get by Jacksonville last year. I mean,
that was
a surprise.
That defense is ridiculous. Jacksonville, I think, comes back down to earth next year, though. I'm going to say 8-8.
I still think they need a quarterback. Blake Bortles is not a guy that's going to take to the promised land. Yeah, they did. They did. Blake Bortles, not a guy that I want the ball in his hands at the end of a game. So let's get to this conversation. So, okay. This is not sports related, obviously, but this is a conversation I've had multiple times. We've seen all the movies. If an invasion happens, Ryan, what would you rather have it be? An alien invasion, a robot invasion, or a zombie invasion? So this is apocalypse, end of the world type scenario. This comes to Earth and we're all pretty much just fucked.
Yeah.
What would you survive the longest, if survive at all?
that's a tough question. Okay, so zombies are frightening, but they're stupid. Like, they're dumb as fuck.
Okay, so there's different variations of zombies, right?
There's never been, like, an intelligent zombie.
No, there's never been that, but there's, like...
Like, their eyes are all fucking bugging out. They don't speak English.
There's the zombies, like, from, like, the, you know, the old-time movie, Night of the Living Dead, where they rise up, they're dead people, and they rise up from the ground. Or there's those zombies from like 28 Days Later where the government fucks up and create a rage zombie that runs.
Yeah, those things are frightening. So I feel like the problem with those wouldn't be that they could like overtake me in a fight or overpower me or sneak up on me. But if they were to like pop out of a closet or from under my bed, I would shit. Like, especially that, like, little girl zombie in 28 Days. Is it 28 Days Later? I don't know. There's, like, two or three of them.
28 Days Later, 28 Weeks Later.
That opening scene in one of them just freaked me the fuck out. Or, like, imagine waking up like that one dude and just, like, there's nobody on the street. I'd be like, this is great, man. No traffic today. You could just go into Best Buy and steal a bunch of shit because everybody's dead. No, I'm kidding. But I feel like zombies, I would be able to overpower. I would be able to outsmart. And I would be able to kill. Robots would be tough because what kind of robots are we talking?
Well,
like the T2 and shit.
What I look at with the robot invasion, like it's already started with technology controls almost everything, right?
Yeah.
And so I don't know if you want to talk about like Terminator or iRobot, something along those variations where it's pretty much just man versus machine.
And I feel like those are kind of like old school robots now.
Yeah.
Because those movies were made in the 90s.
Right.
Like, robots now would have like GPS, so they would know your location, I feel. Like they'd be able to track you somehow.
But with robots, they're controlled by something, and if you can get to that something, you can shut them down, right?
Maybe.
You would think so.
But you'd have to be really smart. See, that's like the thing. And
like
in these movies, like in like T2 and shit, there's always like somebody with you that like breaks into the laboratory and just like knows all the government codes. And he's just like, oh, I can fix this.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be that guy.
No, it wouldn't be
us.
I
don't even know how to sign into USA Today Images. I have to like look for 14 minutes for 40 different passwords just to put a picture up on the website of Aaron Rodgers.
I can't remember my own
Facebook
password.
There's no way I'm defeating robots via computer.
Like I always get locked out of Facebook because I put the wrong password in.
So zombies, I'm stronger than, I'm smarter than, and I feel like I could defeat. I feel like there's always a way that you could beat the zombies. It just takes a little bit of time, and you have to find like 2 to 3 survivors. Like there's got to be like an old man, like his daughter who's got like a flesh wound, and you don't know if she's going to turn fucking zombie or not. But you have to find other survivors that have resources, like a stack of bananas or like some salami meat, because you have to eat. And you can't just like run to your nearest Pick and Save because there'll be zombies just hiding in the frozen food section. But I still feel like zombies are defeatable. Robots depends on how advanced they are. Like if it's like iRobot and there's just like, one button that could shut down the whole system,
right?
Then boom.
But if it's like
Black Mirror robot, like there's an episode with this fucking robot dog. And it has like a GPS,
and
it's unkillable.
Okay, now aliens, I believe in aliens. I don't know if you do.
Absolutely.
I mean, because like we live in this huge universe.
Aaron Rodgers did a whole podcast on it.
Never-ending universe, right?
Yeah.
I'll have to listen to that. Because like Area 51, there's alien stuff all over the place. And an alien
they are among
takeover,
us.
We don't know what the capabilities of aliens are. We don't know what they look like. We don't know who they are.
Exactly.
I mean, they could be living with us right now.
Right.
And we wouldn't know.
Dennis Rodman.
Is an alien.
Is an alien.
Michael Jordan is an alien.
I don't know about
that. Okay? No, he's an alien.
He's a god.
Yeah, it's true.
There's a big difference right there. But aliens, okay. We got to dive into this a little bit.
Okay.
Because
really quick, before we get into the alien conversation, I want to say the biggest difference I think between, I pair alien invasion and robotic invasion over, like together against a zombie apocalypse. Because I think that an alien invasion, call me crazy, but I think an alien invasion or a robotic invasion would actually bring the world together in a fight against them. Let me finish. Compared to a zombie apocalypse where you start having groups go up against other humans, and I think humans become a bigger problem than the zombies.
Yeah, I agree with that. Okay, I thought that's where I was going to go with that.
You know what I mean by that?
I think in any scenario, people get nutty.
Yeah, like, I'm not saying like it. I just think that more people, like I think the government be more in control in an alien invasion in the sense that they would have a plan, they would have a military, and I don't think that we'd be fighting on the front lines like
with
a zombie.
Each other.
Yeah, exactly.
See, I feel like, I don't know, because I feel like in any scenario with any of the three options that people are just so fucking crazy now that, like I said, people will be like, well, everybody's getting killed, everybody's getting murdered by these aliens and things are blowing up and exploding. I'm probably going to make it, so I'm going to run to Pick and Save since all the clerks are dead, and I'm going to steal 50 pounds of salami, 50 pounds of
what's
turkey.
Are you a big salami guy?
I'm actually thinking about a salami sandwich right now. I don't know why I keep throwing salami out there. Okay, we'll go turkey, roast beef. People are like going to want to go and like steal shit, like steal people's cars as they're like laying dead in them. And I think it turns into like everybody like fighting on the streets and like trying to go hide in the same bunker or like get in the same basement to hide from the alien robot or zombie. And it would just, we'd end up just killing each other. And not seeing the bigger picture that we all have to be united.
See, that's how I feel it is against the zombies. I don't feel it'd be that same scenario, at least to that extent, against
I do. Or it's
robot
like, oh,
or
I'm dead anyway. I might as well enjoy my last 48 hours on the planet, so I'm going to go and do this. And somebody else wants to do that same thing. They end up battling each other. Meanwhile, shit's just going crazy.
Now, if alien takes over, those multiple ways that can happen. You know, like you see Independence Day where they just bring in this huge ship and they just try to destroy everything. Or it can happen like in, you ever see the movie Signs with Mel Gibson?
Yeah, I hated that
movie. Where they actually come down to the ground and they try to take you out one by one with poison.
I liked that movie until you see the fucking alien and it's the stupidest looking thing you've ever
right?
seen.
Yeah.
And it's just like swing away and the guy just picks up a baseball bat and just starts murdering. Like, oh, that's all I had to do was just pick up a baseball bat and start whacking these dudes.
He broke the bat, though.
That movie sucked. Like, I liked the first hour of that movie, like what it could have been. And then it was all just like the most corny shit ever. It really was. Like, everything tied in. It was a good message, and everything tied nicely together. But it was just such bullshit that, like, you're going to defeat an alien with a baseball bat, and this is tied here, and this is tied here. I mean, the best part of the movie is you got Mel Gibson in there.
Well, I don't even know if that's even the best part
of the
movie.
It's the best part. Anytime you get Mel Gibson in a movie.
I mean, like, I wouldn't put him up in my top 10.
Well, not as an actor, but, like, his performance in the Lethal Weapon category.
Okay. Lethal Weapon, like 5?
I don't think there was a 5, was there?
No, I don't think it just
the
went
first
to 4.
Two were great.
I think
and then
it just
they
went
introduced Joe Pesci, and that's he's a great character. But anyway, moving on.
So Alien Invasion, like,
I think we're all fucked.
Yeah, I think we're fucked anywhere. I think we'll be fucked on everything. I think we would lose an alien invasion. I think we would lose a robotic invasion. I think we'd be all dead in a zombie invasion. Now,
yeah.
What would you, I mean, like, at that point, if we're going to die anyways, I think then alien invasion would be the quickest.
Yeah, because they're like, if it's like Independence Day, they just kind of send down those laser beams and everything just explodes.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, you're dead. Like, zombies are going to like eat you and like eat your face. That's
I think the
be
zombie
very...
would be the worst way to die.
Or if you're going to become like one of them.
Right.
So like you have to spend your last days. Like...
And that's another thing too. It's like if you got family and friends and loved ones, if you were walking down the street trying to find those people and you found out that one was a zombie, how do you kill them? How do you?
Oh, easily.
Oh, but easily. You say easily, but you don't know that.
Unless it's my kid.
Right?
He's the only one I'd let survive, even if he was a zombie. I'd be like, fuck, can't do anything about this. Just eat me, buddy, and let's be quick about it. Anybody else, I'm shooting in the face.
Like, no second thought.
My dad, dead.
No
my
second
mom,
thought.
Dead. Wife, love you, dead.
You know, I've known you now for like 5-6 years or
if
something
zombies,
like that.
It ain't even really them. I gotta kill them to survive. It's every man for themselves. It's like
I
the
get
royal
that.
Fucking rumble.
I get that, but just thinking about it like right now, like talking about it, I don't know. I don't know if I'd be able to do it right away. I mean, there'd be some second thought to it.
Well, have you seen the movie It?
No.
Spoiler alert, there's like this scene. Well, I'm not gonna ruin it.
No, go ahead, ruin it.
No, there's like this scene, like, cause he could like impersonate other creatures and other people. He could like become anything. And this dude loses his brother in the beginning of the movie. And then at the end, like, he tries to, like, be his brother and make him feel all bad. And the kid snaps out of it. And he's like, you're not really my brother. My brother's dead. And that's the way you have to think. Like, you're not my girlfriend. You're not my dad. You're a fucking zombie.
I
have to kill you.
I get that.
I'm going to be a zombie.
No, I totally get that.
And it sucks. Like, you can mourn it, like, after you do it. But, like, you got, see, that's
because they are already dead.
You are dead, Cody, because you have feelings and a heart and all that shit. Me, I'm just boom. Like you have no time to react or think. You just gotta come out swinging and killing. Right
now
away.
Talk about survival. Have you shot a gun before?
Yeah, I have.
I've never shot a gun before.
Yeah.
Another thing too is I wear glasses and contacts. There's no eye doctors in a post-apocalyptic world, right? So my glasses fall off.
See, boom.
I'm
then
blind.
You have to run into lens crafter. You have to be one of those people.
I don't even
trying
know
get,
where
like,
the closest
last...
lens crafters is.
And boom, that's how you meet your demise because you. And you and Chewbacca from Twitter both have to get your glasses and your prescription filled, but there's only
so much of this left. I thought we were done talking about Chewbacca.
So you guys have to battle. You end up killing each other before the aliens could even get to you. Prime example of what would happen in an attack. People would end. We would destroy ourselves.
Yeah, that's what would happen.
I mean, I think
already
realistically,
on that.
I survive any of the three.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
Why? Tell me why.
Okay, so I would hide from the zombies for as long as I could. I stock up. I go to Costco. I got a Costco card, so I already buy things in bulk. If I don't buy it in bulk, my wife likes to buy unnecessary bullshit. I'll be like, why do we have 52 packages of bottled water? Why do we have enough toilet paper to wipe our asses for the next 25 years? And she just likes a good deal, man, and she likes to buy things in bulk. So I'm stocked up. I got enough food. Toilet paper. I got the resources to hide for as long as I could wait that thing out.
What about people?
All I need, I'll take Amanda and I'll take my kid. I'm not telling anybody else where I'm at. I'm not answering my cell phone. I'm not doing anything. I hide for as long as I can because these things are going to die. Zombies, Zombies aren't like Mark McGuire and Sammy Sosa juiced up on HGH and steroids. They're like skinny and like dying. Like think of maybe like what's their life expectancy? I'd say like a week or two maybe. Like they could keep eating brains and I think that's how they get stronger. I'm not really sure, but they're not going to live very long.
Whereas, but they're dead. Whereas, they're already dead. They're not going to die again.
Like decompose or something. Do they just wander? Do they like?
I thought the only way to kill a zombie was like blunt trauma to the head.
Every movie's different, so I don't really know. I don't know a zombie that I could be like. So how do I kill you guys?
Well, they're
you
not
guys
real. Just I mean, we don't know. Weeks? They're not real.
Anyway,
so.
I would just wait it out, and then like when they do come, just kill them, man. You just cut their heads off. And like I said, they're dumb. They're slow.
Well, yeah,
like, I'm really fat. I could run a. I used to in my heyday run like a 4.3, 4.4, 40, depending if I'm wearing cleats or sneakers.
I can't run. Like I'm not running. Like I'm not doing it.
I'm not worried about zombies. Robots would be a little bit tougher. And luckily, my wife was a quote unquote genius. That's what they call them at Apple. She worked at like the Genius Bar and fixes computers,
an
iPads. So she would probably like I lock myself out of my own fucking phone, and she knows exactly how. She probably knows where I'm at right now. She has like location services and everything on this cell phone, and so I'm pretty sure that with her knowledge, with my strength, we would get through the robots. She would be like, "Oh, all I got to do is robots all dead."
You're crazy.
And then what was the last one again? Aliens.
Aliens.
This one's going to be a little bit tougher. I think a little bit of luck. Is what I'll need because you just can't be in the wrong place at the wrong time. Like if you're taking your White House tour that day and Independence Day happens, boom, you're dead. Luckily, I don't do anything like that, like stupid tours in Washington, D.C. I don't give a shit. So I'm probably at home on my couch. I highly doubt that the aliens right now are plotting to destroy West Dallas in my apartment specifically as I sit and lose $200 on the World Cup at 9 a.m. So I think I'll be good. But then, yeah, you have to find a safe place and you have to find a scientist. Like that people have been shutting up for 20 years. Like, oh, I told you guys this in 1976, you know, with this crash. You have to find that guy that's fucking nuts. People find him to be a little bit crazy, and they think that he's just been, like, taking strong acid for the last 20 years, when realistically he knows all about the aliens and how to stop them. You have to live long enough to find that guy. He's probably in, like, the desert, and you have to come up with a plan together. So you have to be in the right place at the right time to survive a alien attack, because they have an unfair advantage, man. They're just dropping laser missiles.
I think number one, avoid big cities.
So I think we
don't
okay
live
in
the big
Milwaukee.
City. So Milwaukee's not really a big city.
And even if it is, like, I'm not. You're fucked. You're downtown.
Well, no, I'm moving to Oak Creek in a month.
Okay, then you're all right.
Oak Creek's not a big city. But we have an IKEA.
See, you're screwed because that's what they're going to be focused on. I feel
big,
like IKEA is going to be the first
big stores,
the first target. The first target is going to be IKEA.
This show really went off the rails.
One alien got pissed off about some cheap furniture. His couch fucking broke, and now he's pissed off. Yeah. So, wait. So, which do you think you could survive?
I don't think I would survive any of them.
Well, so you're 0 for 3.
Yeah, but so I would pick an alien invasion so I'd die quickly.
Okay.
Yeah.
You guys did this on Chuck and Winkler?
So, okay, this is how it happened. So, Chuck was off.
I was going to say.
So, it was a draft, obviously. NBA draft. And Kevin Holden from CBS 58, our substitute teacher of the fan, came in. And I don't even remember how we got on this topic. I don't know if it was... I can't remember. Like, we were talking about... Were we talking about robots? Bart was talking about how he's, like, scared of...
Bart loves
robots.
Yeah.
No, he hates robots.
No, but he loves, like...
He loves talking
about
it. I
worked a Packers event with Bart, and he was just going around asking people if we replaced human beings as football players with robots, if they'd still watch. And I think it's one of the greatest, most underrated questions ever.
Well, they did that movie, Real Steel, with Hugh Jackman.
With Wolverine.
Which was an awesome movie,
that
by
was
the way.
Not an awesome
loved
movie.
It. Oh, my loved God.
I may
it.
Walk out of
loved
this
it, loved
studio
it, loved
right
it, loved it, loved it. I saw that with my dad.
Next podcast, we're going to do our top 10 favorite movies of all time.
Dude,
because
I'm
the fact
down
that
for
you
that.
Just said you love Real Steel,
okay.
I need to hear your full catalog.
You want to hear my full catalog?
Not
we'll
right
do
now.
That. No, we'll do that next week.
That's what you call a tease in this industry.
Yes. And then episode 4, we'll find out your secret as well. That's one of our other teases.
Oh, about my third arm? My third leg, I should say? My
third leg?
Huh.
Yeah.
We ain't gonna
Is that what
up.
You call it?
We'll get to that episode 5, maybe.
Possibly. Okay, we'll push that back one episode. Yeah, I would not survive any of these. I would die quickly in an alien invasion, a robotic takeover. I'm not very strong. I mean, if Arnold Schwarzenegger came out, I can't shoot a gun. I've never had one. So, no, I wouldn't survive that. And then a zombie... My glasses would fall off within the first 2 weeks, I'd be blind. I can barely kill a spider in my house.
Yeah, you're fucked,
I don't
man.
See myself being able to kill a
zombie. I feel bad for your girlfriend. Caitlin, I feel bad for her.
Oh, she's in serious trouble.
Yeah, she's probably wears the pants on the family. I feel like she would be like a survivor.
She makes the money.
Like you,
that's
would,
for sure.
Well, that's all. That's radio.
That's anybody in radio,
yeah.
Right?
But I feel like, yeah, she would have to. She would survive, and you'd be dead like within the first scene of the movie. I feel.
Oh,
like.
Absolutely.
With your credentials that you just
yeah,
named,
it's
you're totally screwed. The good thing about the Arnold Schwarzenegger
when it comes
thing
to
was
invasions,
he was a cyborg. He wasn't a robot. He was
I am
a cyborg.
I am way beta.
So
when
you
it comes
may
to
be
invasions.
Able to defeat a robot, but I don't think you could take a cyborg. So that's a big factor in it. Anything else we need to hit on?
I think that's it.
I got about $100 on this soccer game coming up. So
who is it?
Got to get home. I already forgot.
Oh, okay. So, well, there you go. Off the rails. Episode one.
Germany cost me some money earlier. So, yeah. Well, let's pray for good things for Uncle Horvat today. I think I took Brazil to beat Serbia, -1, and maybe Sweden. I don't even remember, man. I send these bets in at like 10 p.m. at night.
Yeah, I think I'm going to take the Brewers today.
I did that as well.
You're not
and
losing
I,
the Royals.
And I took the over.
You're not losing, even with Lorenzo Cain. I mean, Lorenzo Cain out of the lineup, VR leading off, and Keon Broxton, what's he betting, sixth, seventh?
Sixth or seventh.
Sixth yeah. or seventh, yeah, they're not losing that game.
I sure hope not, because I took them and the over. That game, first pitch coming up here in about, what, a half hour?
Yeah, on Facebook.
So today, here on Wednesday, June 27th, I'm in danger of losing a little bit of money. We'll recap that next week. Did my soccer bets come through? Did the Brewers score over 8 runs?
And favorite movies, top 10.
And Cody's favorite movies.
On Off the Rails.
Just throw us one hint out there. Give us one movie on your top 10 collection.
Before I do that, I have a question for you. If it's like a trilogy, does that count as one movie?
Yeah, we're just counting that as one. Like
okay.
You can't give me like The Godfather 2, then
yeah,
Godfather 1.
I
if you
hate
give me Godfather
shit.
3, I'm going to punch you in the face.
Thank you. Okay. The Bourne movies.
The Bourne movies.
The Bourne movies.
Do you include the Jeremy Renner
no,
one?
Hell no.
So
anything
just
with,
Matt Damon.
Just Matt Damon's Jason Bourne's.
Okay, I'll give you one on my list.
Okay.
The Departed. Greatest movie ever made.
I Scorsese. Will give you a clue.
Better than Goodfellas.
Okay, we're going to have to discuss that next week.
That's a tease.
Okay. Thanks, Ryan.
See ya.